The listing agreement. The listing agreement is an employment contract used by sellers to employ a real estate broker or brokerage firm to find a buyer for their property. Brokers agree to use their best efforts and abilities to find a purchaser. While some states, including Texas, allow oral listings, good business practice would require that listings should be in writing. A listing is a contract and must conform to all of the requirements of contract law. To avoid misunderstanding, listing agreements have provisions that describe the rights and duties of the agent and the principal. The parties to the listing agreement are the seller and the broker. A sponsored license holder of the broker may sign the agreement, but does so on behalf of the broker. Elements of a listing agreement. A complete listing package helps to avoid misunderstanding between buyer, seller, and agents regarding critical elements of a transaction. A listing package should, at a minimum, include bullet: the information about brokerage services, IABS form, filled out and dated. Bullet: an explanation of duties to clients and customers. Bullet: the names of the parties to the contract with appropriate signatures. Bullet: a beginning date and a termination date. Bullet: the agreement to pay a stated commission, usually a percentage of the sales price. Bullet: a description of the fixtures to be included in the sale, such as carpets, the television antenna, draperies, fireplace screens, etc. Bullet: a written permission to advertise and place a yard sign and other documents granting permission, for example, permission to put a lockbox on the door. Bullet: fair housing language and fair housing logo. Bullet: intermediary consent. Bullet: signed and dated listing agreement. Bullet: when you are discussing a contract or a listing agreement with a client over the phone, tell the client that you will follow up via email so that it is documented. Types of listing agreements. Open listing. The open listing gives the seller the right to list the property with multiple competing brokers and to sell the property personally without liability for payment of a commission. Some sellers believe that an open listing best serves their interests, that listing with several brokers produces more prospects than does a single listing company. Real estate brokers recommend against open listings for several reasons. First, the owner may be subject to commission claims by more than one broker. It is not always possible to easily determine who was responsible for the sale, and controversy over this point may lead to expensive litigation. Secondly, brokers are concerned that because the commission is paid to the broker who first finds the buyer, an open listing does not protect the broker who diligently advertises the property. In fact, who was the procuring cause of the sale? The open listing has resulted in many lawsuits between brokers, each claiming commission. These actions are known as procuring cause lawsuits. Because of the possibility the property may be sold without notice by others, brokers are unwilling to spend time and effort on a property for which they have no commission protection. Lastly, some argue that under an open listing, brokers have an incentive to close the sale quickly and at a lower than market price. If this occurs, a broker could be accused of failing to protect the client's, seller's, best interests. Therefore, agent loyalty is a significant issue when listing property using an open listing. Exclusive agency. In an exclusive agency listing, the seller agrees to list the property with only one broker during the listing term, with the provision that the seller can sell the property himself or herself without payment of a commission. Perhaps the biggest risk to the broker in an exclusive agency listing is that the seller will not fully cooperate with the efforts of the broker if the seller thinks that he or she has a prospect to sell to and avoid paying a fee. Texas Realtors does not have an exclusive agency listing agreement in full, and most brokers do not prefer such an agreement. Instead, Texas Realtors makes an addendum available that, when completed and attached to an exclusive right to sell agreement, makes that agreement exclusive agency, allowing the seller to sell the property himself or herself and avoid paying any sales commission to the broker. Exclusive agency agreements are often used with builders who list their properties with a broker, primarily to expose their properties through the multiple listing service. builders still maintain the right to sell the property themselves without paying the broker a fee. The broker is only entitled to a fee if the buyer comes from the efforts of the broker or cooperating broker. Exclusive right to sell. Real estate brokers recommend this listing, which grants an exclusive right to sell the property during the listing term. A commission is paid even if the property is sold by the owner. It is worth noting that the listing agreement most brokers prefer is the exclusive right to sell listing agreement, as it affords the broker the greatest degree of protection in earning a commission during the listing term, and provided the broker performs as promised, from executing a sales contract through to closing and funding. Under an exclusive right to sell, brokers are more willing to spend advertising dollars and their sales efforts to secure a buyer. If the property is listed at market value, this type of listing probably serves the interest of both parties. Under this plan, the broker has sufficient time to test the market, design an advertising sales campaign, and market the property under the best possible terms. Another benefit of the exclusive right to sell listing agreement is that it helps to avoid the problem of procuring cause lawsuits because the listing broker is the only one with the right to sell the property. Net listing. Under such listings, the seller establishes a minimum acceptable net price. The real estate broker's commission is the difference between the minimum net established by the seller and the price that the buyer is willing to pay. Because of potential ethical and legal issues, net listings are outlawed in many states. While net listings are legal in Texas, TREC has recognized the potential for abuse in net listings and has passed two specific rules regarding this type of listing. 1. A broker should take net listings only when the principal insists upon a net listing and when the principal appears to be familiar with the current market values of real property. When a broker accepts a listing, the broker enters into a fiduciary relationship with the broker's principal, whereby the broker is obligated to make diligent efforts to obtain the best price possible for the principal. The use of a net listing places an upper limit on the principal's expectancy and places the broker's interest above the principal's interest with reference to obtaining the best possible price. Net listings should be qualified to assure the principal of not less than his or her desired price, and to limit the broker to a specified maximum commission. 2. A real estate license holder is obligated to advise a property owner as to the license holder's opinion of the market value of a property when negotiating a listing or offering to purchase the property for the license holder's own account as a result of contact made while acting as a real estate agent. Multiple listing services. The exclusive right to sell and exclusive agency listing agreements usually call for the broker to place the listing into one or more multiple listing services, MLS. In the multiple listing service, member firms share their listings to increase the inventory of properties for sale. The shared information is also used by agents to prepare a comparative market analysis, CMA. The agent uses sales information from the MLS data to show a seller the market value of the property. The agent bases this analysis on properties that have recently sold that are most similar to the seller's property. If possible, the agent should use data from sales that have closed within the last 6 months. The more recent the sales data, the better. The agent will also show on the CMA properties currently listed that are similar to the subject property. The listing agent will show expired properties like the subject property on the CMA as well if that data is available. A rule of thumb is 3-3, each of recently sold, recently listed, and recently expired properties that are similar to the subject property the agent desires to list. Appraisers also have access to MLS for their use in preparing appraisal reports. Most MLS systems have rules limiting the number of days an agent has to enter the listing into the MLS. Entering the listing into the MLS will expose the listing to thousands of members of the service. However, you will make a much more significant impact if you can encourage some of those agents to tour the property. Holding an open house for brokers and agents can be the most effective way to get broad market exposure. To encourage a good turnout, provide a luncheon buffet, wine and cheese, coffee and pastries, or other incentives. A door prize is also a good incentive. The key is maximum exposure. The more people who see the listing, the better the chance of a quick sale. Most MLS systems require the listing broker to offer a cooperating broker a specific percentage of the sale. The listing broker will enter this percentage into the MLS. Legally, the listing broker cannot modify that compensation once the cooperating broker has produced a buyer with a signed offer. As a buyer's agent, you cannot ask for any compensation not advertised on the MLS. It is considered unethical. If the listing broker advertised 2.5% compensation to cooperative brokers, you could not ask for 3%. Benefits of seller agency. Bullet marketing is the most obvious benefit of seller agency. Buyers know that licensed real estate brokers offer the vast majority of real estate for sale. Modern MLS systems have given local real estate markets a truly global reach. Property owners can list a property with a good agent and know that it is getting far better exposure than if the owner attempted to sell without the assistance of a broker. Bullet, negotiations are easier when a property is listed with an agent. Many buyers are reluctant to contact and negotiate a purchase with a seller. Likewise, sellers benefit because the agent stands between the potential buyer and seller. The seller can consider a negotiating strategy with input from his or her agent, without the pressure that comes from direct negotiation with a buyer. Bullet A, a trained real estate professional, facilitates the legal and financial details of the transaction. Sellers are generally not well-versed in the ins and outs of mortgage qualification and completing contracts. The seller's agent ensures that, as much as possible, the buyer has the intent and the financial means to complete the purchase. Bullet Time is a valuable commodity. Sellers must deal with lookers who are not qualified and who waste the seller's time. Many sellers have listed their property after dealing with no-shows at appointments and buyers who are not qualified to purchase. Listing objections. Many sellers remain unconvinced that using a sales agent is in their best interest. They look at the dollar amount of the commission that you will charge them, and they are unsure of your worth. Overcoming their objections will net you the listing. You must practice answering the most common questions. Also, be prepared for the unexpected. When that happens, always take your time to answer. Rephrase their question to be sure you understand the purpose behind it and to give yourself a little time to think. Then, answer as carefully and positively as possible. Reassure them that their question is valid and that you appreciate their need for answers and information. Whenever possible, use sales statistics to prove that your responses are valid. The four reasons why a house does not sell: price, location, condition, marketing plan. Elaborate on your ability to help in each of these areas. Discuss the importance of a third party to ease and facilitate the negotiations involved in this complicated transaction. For sellers who believe that they can do your job by themselves, the following list of questions may make them think twice. Bullet. Do you really know what your property is worth in today's market? Will you price it too high and discourage potential buyers, or too low and lose part of your equity? Bullet. Do you know what AIDA means? The four psychological steps of a sale: attention, interest, desire, and action. Can you write the type of ads that will attract a qualified buyer? Bullet. Do you have a list of prospects and access to numerous buyers? Can you separate the lookers from the buyers? Bullet. Can you show other houses as comparables? Bullet. Are you familiar with the techniques of selling real estate? Do you have the ability and skill necessary to make a sale? Bullet. Can you show your property as effectively as a broker? Are you prepared to expose your family to any stranger who knocks at the door to see your house? Bullet. Are you available to prospects on a full-time basis until the house sells? Bullet. Can you answer objections and criticism without losing your temper? Bullet. Do you have the ability to call back on prospects without placing yourself in a weak bargaining position to negotiate an offer? Bullet. Can you draw a legally correct contract and include all the changes and conditions customary in this area? Bullet. Do you understand the disclosures required by law? Bullet. Are you familiar with today's financing? Do you have several sources of financing? Bullet. Do you have the time to handle all these details in light of your other responsibilities? Remember to be sensitive to the seller's feelings about the property. Also, be aware that the seller may have some preconceived ideas about values in the neighborhood. Rumors are all too often considered as fact, and the seller may have heard what other houses have sold for. Misinformation can make your presentation difficult if you have a laptop computer and can pull up MLS figures right in front of your sellers. You will probably be able to convince even the most stubborn sellers of current market conditions. If you are bringing a prepared CMA, be sure that it is accurate and that you have plenty of comparables to help defend your suggested price range. Finally, if you have a seller who insists on listing above fair market value, you should point out that in the unlikely event that the seller could find a buyer, the property might not appraise, and financing would be difficult to obtain, leaving a prospective buyer unwilling to continue with the sale. Moreover, overpriced houses help sell the competition. Agents bring buyers to the overpriced property. They point out all the amenities and special features of the property. Then, they take buyers to properly priced homes and point out what a bargain they are in comparison to the one viewed first. It is because of this that many sellers wonder why their overpriced properties did not sell. After all, there were dozens of lookers. Yes, there were. They all bought other homes. It is not in your best interest, or the seller's best interest, to list a property at a price that is not competitive. The property will hang on the market, and some agents will not show it based on the length of time it has been on the market. They will feel that there must be something wrong with it and do not want to waste their buyer's time. Reducing the price at a later date only reinforces this type of negative thinking about a listing. Therefore, if an owner insists on a price that is too high and refuses to consider lowering it, you might consider refusing the listing. Ask your broker the recommended policy for such situations. Occasionally, a seller will interview several potential agents. If this is the case, give your presentation and thank the sellers for their time and the opportunity for their business. Be sure to tell them that you look forward to listing their properties. Most importantly, always leave your card and follow up with a call. In your listing presentation kit, you should have a copy of an exclusive right to sell listing agreement. This is the agreement that you will sign with your sellers. It is important that you are comfortable with its presentation. Also, be sure to include in your presentation a discussion of all the items included in the sale. If the seller wants to exclude any items from the sale, discuss removing them before showing the property. Finally, you may want or need to discuss property condition and marketing with your seller. Reassure the seller that you can take care of all of the details. This is also an excellent time to discuss why some buyers are reluctant to look at FSBOs. Four types of buyers. Basically, there are four types of buyers in any given area. First-time buyers. First-time buyers usually fear FSBOs because they know they lack experience and want a professional to guide them through the process. They also worry that an experienced seller might take advantage of them. Buyers changing homes. Buyers changing homes in a particular area or moving up to their dream home have plenty of time and often enjoy shopping. They will only buy an FSBO if they feel they can get a steal of a deal. They know an FSBO is not paying an agent's commission and will try to deduct what they feel would be the commission from your asking price. If these buyers did not want to avoid paying a commission themselves, they would be using a broker. Investors. Some buyers are investors. They want to buy low and sell high. They will only look at property that is a good income producer or that has a desperate seller. If they are very knowledgeable, they will work on their own. But most use professionals to guide them to good opportunities. Relocators. The last group is buyers relocating to the area. Relocators are often pressed for time, and since they are unfamiliar with the area, they will almost always work exclusively through real estate agents. They depend on their agents to inform them about property values in the area and to take care of the details required to get from contract to closing while they return to their current home to settle matters. If your seller understands your presentation, then he or she will realize that the only buyers likely to even look at the property are the toughest sells in the business. Here is your opportunity to ask for the listing. Assure the seller that by listing with you, his property will be exposed to the most likely buyers, the first-time buyers, and the relocation buyers. These categories of buyers want to buy and are most likely to offer a fair price. They do not have the time or inclination to submit low offers in the hope of getting a sweet deal. Finally, work through the seller's net sheet with the seller. If the seller is still upset with the commission amount, remind him or her that in trying to sell the property without your services, would-be buyers will deduct that amount from their offers anyway. This is because most buyers feel that they pay the commission. Throughout your presentation, in trying to convince the seller to list the property, be sure that you are also convincing him or her that you are the right person to list with. If you have not done so already, this is the time to stress the advantages you have to offer. A brochure about your firm, its policies, and its reputation can be very effective. Remember, in promoting your own firm, never criticize the competition. It is against the code of ethics, and it gives the profession a bad name. Finally, before you sign the listing agreement with the sellers, be sure that you want the listing. Are the sellers motivated? Is the property marketable? Are they willing to price it competitively? Basically, is this a good listing for you and your firm? Disclosure issues. During the listing presentation, before signing a listing agreement, advise the sellers of the following. Bulletin information about brokerage service. Bullet. The license holder's opinion of the market value of the property. Bullet. The firm's policy on advertising. Bullet. Fees that the seller will pay at closing. Bullet. A net sheet that approximates the net proceeds of the sale. Bullet. If appropriate, discuss the possibility of the buyer entering into a buyer representation agreement with the broker. Written consent to practice intermediary must be obtained from the buyer and seller. Bullet. Intermediary consent and the broker's policy relating to appointments. Bullet. The seller should be kept updated on pricing trends that may affect the final sales price. When the seller's agent is working with potential buyers, the agent must Bullet. Provide the IABS unless the buyer is represented by another agent. Bullet. Ensure that the buyer understands that the agent is representing the interests of the seller and that the agent owes no more than a duty of honesty and fairness to the buyer. Bullet. The firm's policy on subagency. Subagency. Subagency occurs when a license holder is not associated with the seller's broker, but is representing the seller through a cooperative agreement with the seller's broker. While this is undoubtedly a concise definition, the definition of subagency is best represented by practical examples. In conclusion, some agents have come to believe that since the passage of Senate Bill 489, subagency is unlawful, but in fact, that is not the case. Subagency is lawful. However, because of the passage of Senate Bill 489, the disclosures are more stringent. Before Senate Bill 489, most buyers did not even know that they were not being represented. However, under Senate Bill 489, such disclosure is required by law. Subagency tends to show up more often in rural communities, and the trend away from subagency is evident in the metropolitan markets. This trend should continue as brokers, agents, and consumers become better educated on all facets of agency law in the state of Texas. Many brokers currently, as a part of their policy, will not allow their sponsored agents to work in sub-agency relationships. Such agency relationships are legal, like intermediary, without appointments, but come with a higher degree of exposure for the broker and consumer. Such exposure can often lead to unwanted litigation. Real-world scenario. Assume that ABC Realty has listed the Jones's house for sale, and the listing agent is Sally Brown. Jim Williams works for XYZ Realty and is working with a buyer named Harriet Green, who has decided she would like to purchase the Jones's home. Harriet Green is not being represented by XYZ Realty. Now let's plug the players into the definition above and gain the clarification we need to understand this definition of subagency from a compliance and practical perspective. Jim Williams is a license holder not associated with the seller's broker. Jim Williams is associated with XYZ Realty, and the seller's broker is ABC Realty. Jim Williams and XYZ are representing the Jones family, and so is ABC Realty.